All right, welcome back to the Evan Bray Show. If you are just joining us, I am Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray all week. Today's my last day. But you know what? I'm so happy to be here because Evan is on his way to the Oilers game tonight. So good for Evan. This is a segment I'm really looking forward to. I've been looking forward to it all week, having this conversation with the two guests who I will be introducing in a moment. According to the First People's Principles of Learning, learning is embedded in memory, history, and story. The First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people of Canada have rich traditions of storytelling. Oral traditions are the backbone of Indigenous knowledge transfer. But isn't it interesting that for decades and decades, for centuries, in Canada, in Saskatchewan, the stories of Indigenous people that have been shared on, you know, in the media, you know, to the masses outside of Indigenous communities has largely not been done by Indigenous people. And that has caused a lot of harm. And when it is done by Indigenous people, there is a lot of not just healing that comes with stories that are filled with harm, but just so many more beautiful stories. And I think we're all richer for it. So I'm so excited to introduce my guests today. Joining me in studio is Brittany Poitras, who is a student at the First Nations University Indigenous Journalism and Communication student. And Brittany, I'm so excited to have you here. You've been sitting in for the last couple segments because you're wanting to study journalism. So I thought it'd be cool for you to be here in the studio. And joining us on the line is one of Brittany's instructors, Shannon Avison. She runs the Indigenous Communication Arts Program, aka INCA. It's been around for a long time at the First Nations University. And I wanted to talk to you first. Welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time out of both of your days. I wanted to talk to you first, Brittany, about your reason for wanting to be in journalism, because it didn't start out this way. You thought you were going to be a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm. I still honestly do think I might.
You might.
Dabble in the law profession. I think it started when I was a young kid. I grew up in a big family, and so we were always telling stories. My mushroom used to tell me stories every night before bed, and so I got used to storytelling and hearing stories and listening. As I grew a little bit older, I realized that our stories aren't being told. Or they're not being shared. We're losing a lot of knowledge keepers and elders. And so I wanted to go out and be the one that's listening to those stories and then sharing them as well.
What were your impressions of the media growing up? You grew up in Fort Qu'Appelle, you were telling me, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember having impressions of the media or even, I mean, you were telling me off air that your auntie is actually Connie Walker, who is another Canadian icon, like, my goodness. Did she talk to you about the media or her thoughts on it? Or what were your impressions growing up?
I did listen to a presentation on her in the Indigenous Media and Democracy Conference. And she's very outspoken about the media not doing Indigenous people justice. And that's, I mean, a large focus of her career. And it's going to be a large focus of my career as well. But in the way that we're going to shed light on the positives. And we're going to, you know, bring to light the good stories that are happening rather than focusing on the bad stories. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the work that she had laid out created those spaces for us to step in and now tell our stories in a good way. The media was not always kind to Indigenous people or didn't always have positive things to say or positive representation of Indigenous people. So I think that now when we're able to step into these roles and tell our own story, we're taking back our power and taking back our healing as a community.
You are listening to a future Peabody Award winning journalist and Pulitzer Perfect. Prize winning award winning journalist, Brittany Poitras. And Brittany, I wonder, what stories would you like to tell? What stories are you excited to be able to tell as you finish your academic part of your life, this journalism part anyway, and move into the profession?
Mm-hmm. I think right now I'm really interested in the historic stories as well as the language stories. So right now I'm working for Shannon at Pitkiskwewin, which is an Indigenous language podcast. I also have Campus Tea with Brittany at CFNU Radio. So I do radio host a bit.
Amazing.
On Mondays. And then on Fridays, we do All Request Friday, which is basically me going around the university and getting song requests. So, I mean, just really giving a space for my community to have their voice. Right now it's just at the university, but I do give people that space to tell their stories. And then with Pekiskoiwin, it's Indigenous languages. And right now, I think that's so important to keep our language living and keep it alive, because we are losing a lot of language speakers. And so I think it's important to tell our stories and tell our stories in our language as well.
Yes. You know, it reminds me. So a year ago, I was just telling you offline, Brittany, about my book, and it's I actually don't know that I've ever talked about it on this show, but it's all about trauma-informed journalism. And Duncan McHugh is part of it, and your aunt, Connie Walker, was part of it. And I remember emailing Duncan last year and inviting him to my book launch, which was in Toronto. And he said, oh, I would love to be there, but I've got my language class tonight. And this it's so important for me to not miss it. And I feel like we're seeing more and more of that, which I love. And I wish we didn't have to be, you know, in this situation where we're bringing back these languages, but it is where we are. So I'm excited to follow some of your stories there. I want to go to the voice that we heard on the line there. Shannon Avison, as I mentioned earlier, runs the Indigenous Communications Arts Program at the First Nations University, aka INCA. And Shannon, you've been there for a long time. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you've seen the landscape change in terms of how Indigenous stories are collected and shared in this province, in this country? Who's sharing them? How have you seen this evolve over the decades?
I took INCA. So I came from the Yukon Territory as a young person and found Saskatchewan Indian Federated College and the INCA program. And I took it from 1986 to 1988. And it had started just a few years before that, 1982. So I'm coming up on 35 years of working for SIFC, it used to be, and now the First Nations University of Canada, in the Indigenous Communication Arts Program. And, so, incredible change. When I was a student, the focus for many of the students I was in class with was to focus on Indigenous media, which was just emerging really in those days. So things like the Saskatchewan Indian, NBC didn't start until the 80s. So that's the Indigenous Radio Network across Saskatchewan. And there's an Indigenous Radio Network similar to NBC in basically every region of the country. So that was really the focus, was going into, you know, journalists were going into Indigenous media. There's been a major shift as people are now being trained and qualified to go into mainstream media. So instead of telling this story, you know, and I think it was really important to build that strength and that voice and that experience kind of internally. But now, you know, there's been a very strong, for, you know, 30 years now, a really strong movement to move into the mainstream media and to, you know, we talked about doing, you know, media not doing positive stories about Indigenous people. They didn't do accurate stories about mm-hmm. Indigenous people. So it wasn't just about, you know, not being happy and cheerful and or focusing on bad things. It was, you know, you can focus on things that are challenging, but you need to do it in a way that is accurate. Mm-hmm. And Connie Walker talks a lot about context. That's one of the sort of her calls to action, is that stories have context. And so, you know, providing that, like not just dumping something out as a sort of a bald fact with no, you know, and it's not that sometimes the stories are short. We only have a short window to tell our stories. But if you know the context, then that's embedded in your story. And if you don't know the context, then you're just providing, you know, something that's not accurate.
Mm-hmm. And when it's not accurate, it can be harmful in so many different ways. Obviously, it can be harmful for the people who are being reported on, but just to society in general. You just mentioned calls to action. We're going to go to the break. I want to pick this up, but first I just want to mention, you mentioned one of Connie's calls to actions, but you know, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission had many calls to action. Three of them were actually specific to the media, including number 86, calls where the commission calls upon Canadian journalism programs and media schools to require education for all students on the history of Aboriginal peoples, including the history and legacy of residential schools, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Treaties and Aboriginal Rights, Indigenous Law, and Aboriginal Crown Relations. So I'm curious as to how we're doing. I imagine you guys are doing a lot better there at the Indigenous Communications Arts Program at FNUC than other programs. But I am curious to hear from you, Shannon, on how you think we're doing on the national scale when it comes to that. And I want to hear more about some of the stories that you'd like to share, Brittany. Coming up after the break, you're listening to Tamara Cherry on The Evan Bray Show, 980 CJME, 650 CKOM.
Yeah, rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart. Can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the seventh fire calling us to wake up, wake
all
up.
All nations rise, rise up, cause now's your
That's
time.
That's Lila June, hearing her voice on National Indigenous Peoples Day. And I got to point out, I am acutely aware of partly, you know, the ridiculousness that I'm having this conversation because it's National Indigenous Peoples Day, because this is a conversation that could happen on any day. But of course, this is a reason to have the conversation. But it also speaks to the reason why Indigenous representation is so important in Canadian media, in Saskatchewan media, so that we're not just picking these days to talk about these issues. But that aside, if you're just tuning in, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray. And we're talking about how much more Indigenous representation there is in Canadian media now, specifically in news media. I spent my career as a daily news journalist, barely worked alongside any Indigenous journalists in the many newsrooms I worked with in Canada. But one of the people that I don't know if we ever worked in the field together, but Duncan McHugh is somebody that I've come to know and I really respect. He was a CBC journalist. He's kind of scaled back his duties at CBC, but he has a website that's dedicated to teaching people about reporting on Indigenous communities. And there's something that he said on a podcast recording once that I quote all the time when I'm talking about trauma-informed journalism, which is basically what occupies my day job when I'm not on the radio. And that is, be a storyteller, not a story taker. And I could speak for hours on the importance of that, just on reporting on trauma in general. But I want to turn the mic over to future award-winning journalist Brittany Poitras, who is a student at the Indigenous Communications Arts Program at the First Nations University. And Brittany, talk to me about the importance of Indigenous people telling Indigenous stories.
Mm-hmm. I think for one, it's really important to have context. And when we're telling stories, they come from somebody, and they lots of the time they come from families, and they were passed down through earning them, through offering tobacco, through sitting there, through ceremony. And so these stories were earned. They weren't just taken and then passed on. They have context behind them. And I think that that's really important is when you're hearing Indigenous stories is to give the context and to give the proper
The context is huge.
Yeah.
You know, and even like as Shannon, your instructor, was saying before the break, even if you only have like a minute and a half to tell a story on the radio, I mean, radio is even shorter than that. But as a television reporter, I had a minute and a half, max 2 minutes to tell a story. Newspaper reporters have, you know, 8 to 10 inches in the newspaper. That context, even though you might not be able to spell it all out, it can come through in your writing just by the words that you use, the descriptors that you use.
Mm-hmm. And we try not to make it story extraction. So pretty yes. much just going in and taking the story and then leaving nothing.
Yeah.
We want to do it in a respectful way. And I think that's the difference between Indigenous and non-Indigenous. Not completely, not to say that all people don't respect the stories, but mm-hmm. we understand the context of the story and we understand the protocols that come with receiving these stories mm-hmm. and the significance that come with them as well historically. So,
well, and just to touch on that, you understand the significance of historically white people going into Indigenous communities and taking their stories for research and being totally extractive.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important for non-Indigenous and Indigenous people to hear the stories coming from Indigenous people because we are the original people of this land. The people that are newcomers here or have been here for a long time, they don't know the historical context because it's largely been told by non-Indigenous people. So I think now it's so important for us to be able to tell our own stories because we didn't always have the space in media mm-hmm. to do so.
Well, one of the places that has been providing space there and growing over the years is the Inca program that you're a part of. Shannon Avison is on the line. Shannon, you run the program now, but tell me how a little bit, we've just got, I apologize, Shannon, about a minute left. How has it changed and what sort of opportunities are there for non-Indigenous people as well?
Yeah, so that's something I really wanted to reinforce was that Inca is, you know, call to Action 86 said that all journalism schools and all journalists should be trained in all the things you listed off, you know, right up to the UNDRIP and all the history and all the legalities and the social history. But that's important for everybody because it's not, you know, it's really important for not just Indigenous journalists, but non-Indigenous people too, to understand all those things. And for non-Indigenous journalists to do a good job. And that means being informed. So having that education really helps. And then the other thing is we provide an opportunity. We've expanded INCA. We sort of did it informally, but now we've formally expanded it. We teach journalism and communication. And so that interface between, you know, people and because Indigenous organizations didn't have a voice because nobody would listen to them. But partly that was because they didn't have anybody in the organizations that understood how to get the attention of the media. And so that's something that we also teach. So we're really sort of building the interaction and a partner. I mean, it's not a partnership. It's a slightly antagonistic relationship, but making sure that there are people that take the call when the journalist calls and building trust so that people, you know, are willing to talk to journalists. And certainly, you know, some journalists, they can, if you demonstrate that you really care about a story and you really want to understand a story, people on the other end of the phone, you know, whether it's a conflict story or whatever kind of story, people will be more interested to talk to you.
Shannon Avison, I have to end it there. I'm sorry. I'm pushing the time limit so much. I so appreciate your time. Of course, Shannon runs the INCA program at the First Nations University, and in studio with me today, Brittany Poitras, who is, as I mentioned, a student there, future Peabody Award-winning journalist like her aunt, Connie Walker. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray, 980 CJME, 650 CKOM.